Hi, this is Jalen for Dobbs, where tire buying is easy. At GoToDobbs.com, shop brands, sizes, pricing, and our amazing deals. With 40-plus locations, get same-day install. For tires, it's Dobbs.
For deals you can use, click on GoToDobbs.com now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Dan for Dobbs Tire and Auto Centers, here to share the easiest way to buy tires. Come to Dobbs. With the best tire brands and the biggest inventory, you'll get your tires the same day at the lowest price, guaranteed. Next time you need tires, get into Dobbs.
This before the break, the big news in the NHL over the last couple of days has been Tom Wilson. And if you missed it, basically what happened there is he threw around Artemi Panarin on Monday night like a rag doll. The NHL announced yesterday he's getting a $5,000 fine for the incident. There has been an uproar among fans, among media, that this is ridiculous. It should have been more than that. There should have been a suspension that took place along with it. And Tom Wilson, certainly some of this is the reputation that he has had. By the way, the Rangers, since that incident, have released a statement saying the NHL's head of player safety is, quote, unfit to continue his role, which is quite the statement from an NHL team. So, with all of that as the backdrop, we now go out to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line to be joined by ESPN's NHL writer Greg Wyshynski. Greg, we appreciate the time as always, man. How you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you forgot the absolute poetry in that Ranger statement, which is that it was a horrifically violent incident or act or something as well. It was, as team statements go, it is an all-timer. You really must check it out if you haven't seen it.
On top of the fact that they're basically calling out the man, saying it was a horrific act of violence in a man who had plenty of horrific acts of violence in his NHL career.
Yeah, exactly. And when this thing happened on Monday, I've taken a lot of heat for it, but I said, you know, prepare for the overreaction to it. And, you know, when you have an NHL team describing it as a horrifically violent act, when you have an NHL team calling for the head of an NHL executive, when you have people in hockey, real good fans in hockey, looking at this incident and comparing it to the Todd Bertuzzi incident from, you know, 15 years ago where he paralyzed the guy, like, we're a little bit overboard on this. I know Tom Wilson is a hated figure, and I know we're all waiting for the moment in which they can throw the book at him and drop the hammer and suspend him for 60 games, but it's got to be for something that warrants it. And I just didn't feel like what happened on Monday even comes close to that level.
So I'm so glad you brought up the reaction, because I, like, full disclosure here, I saw the reaction first, then watched the video. And I think it's really important for people, like, when you go back and look at how you thought about this video, a lot of it is kind of based on what you saw first, right? And so for me, I'm going into this and I'm like, oh, wow, this must have been like the worst thing that's ever happened on the ice. And then I watched the video. And again, that's my backdrop, is the reaction. And I'm like, yeah, it's bad. He probably should be suspended for this, at least for a few games. But I don't know that it warrants quite the reaction that I've seen coming out from the woodwork so far. And so that was kind of my initial response to it. Where are you at on this now, Greg? Like, he should not be kicked out of the league. I think we can all at least agree on that. And I think we can also agree that $5,000 fine, and that being it, is probably a little bit on the light side of things. But where do you fall somewhere in between those?
Yeah, and your initial response was the correct one. I mean, I think the word the NHL used when I spoke to them yesterday was commonplace, and I do think that scrums around the net that include glove punches to somebody's head are commonplace. I do think that wrestling matches, maybe not with the, you know, horrific way that Panarin hit the ice and now he's, you know, injured for the next few games of the Rangers season, like, you know, that doesn't happen every night, but you know, wrestling scrum matches do. We saw it in the Penguins Flyers game last night between Sidney Crosby and Travis Konecny. But my take on it is this: I don't think it's a suspendable offense, because I think because it's Tom Wilson doesn't mean it needs to be a suspension, because if it is a suspension, I don't think you can just say, well, it's Tom Wilson. It means that you think the act that was done rises to the level of a suspension. So when it's not Tom Wilson, when it's Chris Kreider, when it's, you know, David Perron, like when it's somebody else involved in an incident like that, you're going to have a very hard time saying, well, this was a special case because he's really bad. The other thing, too, is that you mentioned the $5,000 fine, and it's become a joke amongst hockey fans that it's the maximum allowed under the CBA. You know, these guys carry around $5,000 in their change, you know, drawer in their car. Like, it's not a big deal to them. And the reason it's $5,000 is because it's collectively bargained between the NHL and the NHLPA that's the cap on fines. And so if the NHL sees an incident like this and says, all right, maybe it's not a suspension, but we do want to penalize the guy, all they can do is $5,000. And I think it's contingent on the Players Association to remove the caps on those fines and give the NHL other recourse for types of plays like this, where the message gets across. Like, Tom Wilson loses $500,000. It's a pretty good message, you know, even if it's not a suspended game. So I feel like there needs to be a bit more. Players are fond of saying, let us police the game. Let us police ourselves. Well, great. Well, then give the NHL more ways in which they can penalize the repeat offenders, because right now, A, they can't fine them in a major way, and B, if they do give Tom Wilson 30 games, the NHLPA has the ability to appeal the suspension like they did on Wilson's 20-game one and knock it down through arbitration. So, you know, I think people looked at this and said NHL should do X, Y, Z, not understanding how difficult it is based on the current system.
Greg, I would be interested in your thoughts on Perros as the, you know, head of safety for the NHL, because we've seen a couple of different incidents this season that have been tied to the Blues. The hit from Mark Stone on Tyler Bozak that gave him a concussion and he was out for a long period of time. No suspension there. And then earlier in the season, if people remember correctly, it was Sammy Blais that got suspended against the Colorado Avalanche. And then basically the same play that happened to Bortuzzo didn't happen. And there's plenty of other NHL examples that I can come up with. But from your perspective, how has Perros done at this job so far?
Well, I feel like, you know, I've been covering the player safety department for a very long time, going back to when Brendan Shanahan found it. And I feel like, you know, the suspensions were pretty lengthy when it first started. And maybe there was backlash from the teams or from the Players Association, wherever it was coming from. I feel like what should be maybe a 4 or 5 gamer is a 2 gamer these days. And I do agree with people that say that the suspensions aren't necessarily as emphatic as they should be. So criticism of Perros is fine. I do find it interesting, though, that like a major criticism of him is that he used to be an enforcer in the league. And a lot of people say, hey, you know, maybe turn player safety over not to the people that perpetrated the acts, but to the victims. You know, give the keys to a Paul Kariya, for example, to help try to legislate this stuff. I think that's a fair comment, but I do think that whether it was Brendan Shanahan or George Perros or some of the other people that have, Chris Pronger was there for a while, that have been in that job or around that job, I do think it's important to have kind of like, it's like hiring a thief to work on your security system. You know, like, these are the guys that did the stuff. They know what the dirty tricks are. They understand the nuances of these violent acts. And I do think that that's an important thing to have in there to kind of differentiate sometimes between the stuff that's really, really bad and the stuff that may just be happening in the course of a hockey game.
Greg Wyshynski is our guest. You can find his work over at ESPN.com. You can also give him a follow on Twitter at Wyshynski, Wyshynski. All right, Greg, I did want to also get your thoughts on the Blues, because I'll go ahead and give you kind of where I've been out on this team. I've been the guy that's been hesitant over the last month to buy into anything that I've seen on the ice, because we had seen it before and it was like a 3-game spurt and then it went back to what it was previously. I think I'm kind of in now on at least them being a playoff team, and it took me a while to get here. What's been your perspective over the last month or so, I guess now, of what's been a pretty impressive comeback for the Blues?
Yeah, I mean, you look at their last like half dozen games, and it's the offensive uptick that you really like. You know, they're playing, I think they're playing much better offensively than they had for a good stretch of this season. So that's a good thing entering the playoffs. And, you know, solidifying themselves as a playoff team. I think that's partially the Blues putting together a nice little string of an undefeated streak recently, but also just the inevitable collapse of the competition for that fourth spot. I mean, when we came into the season, you were hard pressed to find anybody that didn't think it wasn't going to be Vegas, Colorado, Minnesota, and St. Louis in the playoffs. And that, of course, is how it's going to end up because, you know, Arizona didn't have the horses and the Sharks were bad and the Kings weren't all that good either. So it's kind of worked out the way that we thought it would. And it's going to be interesting. I mean, it is looking like increasingly it's going to be a Vegas St. Louis first round matchup, which for obvious storyline reasons is incredible with the Petrangelo thing happening. But it's also going to be a real black and blue series that may end up kind of favoring the Blues in the sense of what kind of hockey will be played in that series and what I think St. Louis excels at.
Greg, you talked about the offense, and I'm curious on the two guys that a lot of people have been talking about as of late, and that's Robert Thomas and Jordan Kyrou. I mean, they have created this dynamic trio with Mike Hoffman of another funny portion of where a man who was thought to be traded away and now he's been an offensive weapon for the Blues. But watching Thomas and Kyrou, are those kind of difference makers for you if the Blues do get into the playoffs?
Oh, sure. I mean, Thomas, has been tracking that way for a couple of years now, and I think he certainly actualized this year, and Kyrou has been a spark plug, you know, throughout the season for them. The Hoffman thing's funny. I mean, like, obviously he's gotten a little bit cold lately, but had a good stretch of maybe like 7 or 8 games where he was putting points on, points on the score sheet. And it just goes to show that, you know, we all sat there and we're like, all right, what's Doug Armstrong going to do at the trade deadline? You know, is this team really good enough to be a difference maker in the playoffs? Shouldn't he be trying to, you know, be an aggressive seller like he was in the past with Stasny and Shattenkirk and players like that? They hang on to Hoffman and then they find something that kind of works with him. So, you know, it's one of those moments where they really could have changed the trajectory of the season, and maybe they did a good thing in hanging on to him at the trade deadline instead.
Greg, I wanted to ask you about Ryan O'Reilly, and I don't even know what more we can say about the guy at this point, but he has never scored more than 30 goals in a season. And this year, on an 82-game pace, and I know it's hard to do because we're not playing 82 games, but he would be on pace for 38 goals and nearly a point per game, and he's still one of the best defensive forwards that there is in the league. When you look around the league right now, and I know you kind of did your roundup for the awards the other day for some of the watch lists, is Ryan O'Reilly a guy that you think is going to get some mention in the Selke Trophy watch list once again?
He should, because there's only like 8 guys that ever do. Right? Like that's kind of the issue with that award.
Touché. Is
that like for other guys to break through it, you know, there's a, you know, players like Emerson Eck on the Wild and Philip Deneau with the Montreal Canadiens. Like there's a collection of really good defensive forwards that just never get any love because the conversation is dominated by O'Reilly and Bergeron and Sasha Barkov and now Mark Stone, I think from Vegas, is the guy that's always in that conversation as a winger. So he should very much get love. I do wonder though with the awards and then also kind of speaking to O'Reilly's offensive accomplishments this season, you know, this is a season in which it's all intra-divisional schedules, right? It's all monolithic, siloed off seasons for these teams. We're seeing McDavid tear apart the Canadian teams en route to 100 points. O'Reilly is playing against a couple of very good defensive teams, but also some teams down at the bottom of the division that aren't very good. So it's going to be interesting to see how people evaluate not only the statistical accomplishment of these players, but also like their value for the awards, depending on, you know, what competition they've seen exclusively this year. It's hard to really kind of fathom how good McDavid and Matthews are when they haven't seen, you know, the top 7 defensive teams in this league at all throughout the season.
One more from me, Greg, and it's a player whose name won't be in the award conversations, but he's definitely turned it around, and that's Jordan Binnington. At the beginning of the year, this guy, it felt like he couldn't buy a victory for the Blues in the midst of those losing streaks. And then now, I think in his last 6 or 7 games, he's 6-0-1. So Jordan Binnington seems to have turned things around. What's your view on him?
Yeah, 6-0-1 and feisty, too. I mean,
yeah.
We all like a feisty Jordan Binnington. He's our favorite Jordan Binnington. He's one of the players that I am absolutely fascinated by with regard to the playoffs. I mean, we all saw what happened last year. For whatever reason, he imploded. I mean, he was bad. He was the reason they were losing games last year, which is a jarring thing to see when we remember Jordan Binnington as, I mean, for my money, the reason they won the Cup. So I'm really interested to see which version of him we get in the postseason, because they're going to need him. I mean, I think any series against Vegas will be competitive. It'll be brutal. It'll be physical. It'll be, you know, tightly played games. But they're going to need him to steal a couple things, because Vegas definitely has the ability to really turn on their offense when they're healthy. And if he's up to the task, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility they could pull the upset, but if he's anywhere near what he was last season, I mean, it could be a short one against Vegas.
Yeah, hopefully we don't see that. I know that people here in St. Louis are rooting for that. Greg, we always appreciate the time, man. People can find your work over at ESPN.com. They should give you a follow on Twitter at your last name was Shinsky. Thanks so much, as always, and hopefully we'll talk with you again here as we get closer to the playoffs.
You got it. Thanks for having me.